Listeners of The Occult Unveiled, Ashley and I want to thank you for being with us since the series started. We want to keep producing shows for a very long time, and in order to keep them coming, I'm asking you to consider pledging to our Patreon and becoming part of a magical community. There are all kinds of cool perks on there, and you'll be able to help us with a small monthly pledge. You'll get advanced releases, bonus material, and most importantly, help our magical community grow. Please visit us at patreon.com/theoccultunveiled.
Have you ever had your cards read before?
I've never had my cards read before.
I like the fact that I was in a boat upside down.
So many images and visions that went through my head.
It sounds like we're still talking about your love life.
I think it applies to several areas.
Is this your first tarot reading too?
It's my first tarot reading.
Mm-hmm. It was just eye-openingly accurate.
Hello, mystics. It's Pythian Priestess. Welcome to The Occult Unveiled. We have a very special behind-the-scenes episode this week. But first, a little reminder for you that we have an upcoming Q&A show. I will answer your magical questions. If you haven't submitted already, please do so to our social media. There's still time, so keep those questions coming. We also have our Scariest Moments episode from our most recent guests and a personally scary story from Ashley herself. We also have a catalog of 20 episodes for you to listen to. You can go back and find episodes about Luciferianism, hoodoo, and so much more. But for right now, let's dive into behind the scenes of The Occult Unveiled. Ashley, take us away. Thanks, Pythian. You know, this would be a really good time to explain the relationship between me and Pythian. Ashley and Pythian are the same person. They are voiced by myself. And although she seems to be a, quote, persona, she's actually a very important part of me. In magic, we do something called invoking, where you bring the energy system of a god into you to exude a specific type of energy. When I am my counterpart, Pythian Priestess, I am pulling the energy of the goddess Aset. In Greek, that is the goddess Isis, the nurturing mother, the loving and caring mother, the person who is your best friend and will always support you. And that's how Pythian was born. When I started working with Isis, I started to notice my personality would have this very distinct change where I'm not this goth, dark, edgy chick. I'm definitely more of a pink and light flowing kind of personality. Now, that doesn't mean I have two separate personalities, of course. It just means that part of me comes to the forefront when I work with the energy of the goddess. And that's how I want to present myself when I'm working with others and introducing them into this very scary world of the occult and magic, to take away some of that scariness and bring in what is loving and caring and nurturing. Today on our behind the scenes episode, I'm going to be introducing you to all the people who make The Occult Unveiled possible. We have our executive producers, Scott Kushner and Michael Simon. We have our segment producer, Deborah Simon, our audio producer, Bill Schultz, Laura Kaufman, our coordinator, and our talent booker, Perry Turcott. And I'm going to be doing a very special tarot reading for all of them. And I know it's special because some of them haven't had their cards read before. So let's get started. Who wants to go first?
Well, I think probably we all want to go first because we've all been 21 shows into this. We've wanted to have it done. We should say our coordinator, Laura, has had her cards read. So maybe we want to get an update from her. Laura, you on?
I am here, yes.
Okay, so so Ashley, can you remind when you read Laura's card, what you saw?
So Laura, you asked me very specifically about your love life. You had had some disappointments in the past and you were wondering how you could better increase your chances for a more successful romantic life. And a lot of it was not lowering your standards and making sure that you put yourself first. That's so important in relationships, is that you are not willing to, again, lesser yourself for other people.
Yes, that is correct. And I think something else you guys had said was to maybe take a break from the apps and the swiping. So I've gone ahead and done that, and I'm focusing just more on myself and doing what makes me happy outside of dating. And I have to say, it feels pretty good.
100%. When you are in a space, a place that you love, that is where you're going to meet like-minded people much better than an algorithm.
Yes, that's my hope.
So today we're going to be doing a 3-card spread that we've done for all of our guests on The Occult Unveiled, which is a past, present, and future reading. This is going to be general, and it's not specifically linked to that question. Okay, Laura, so your first card is the Ace of Cups reverse. Cups represent water, and this card, aces, represent zero. And we see the disembodied hand of God, and the cup is being drained of water. Generally, this represents tears. So in your past, there was a lot of tearfulness, a lot of crying, a lot of upset, thankfully, in your past. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Your present card is the 9 of Pentacles reversed. This shows me that you are working on creating your kingdom and your own stability in life. You're alone too. That's probably something that you're not used to, and that you're having a little bit of difficulty finding your footing. And that's okay. That's normal. Keep pushing. You are on the right track. You're almost there. And then next we have one of my favorite cards, the King of Wands. So the King of Wands is fire, and fire is creativity. It is the ability to push forward your will. And in your future, that's what you're going to be doing. First of all, kings represent personal power. They represent the projective energy. So pushing what you want into the world and bringing it into fruition. This sounds like we're still talking about your love life.
I think that applies to several areas.
Oh, good, good. Is there anything in this reading that surprised you?
Not really. I mean, at all. Definitely the tears is accurate, and focusing on me right now, I think, is very true. So yeah, everything feels spot on, and it feels good to have it, you know, reinforced by you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. You know, Laura, I'm going to ask everyone this question, but I'm particularly curious. While creating this show, have your views on spirituality changed at all?
I think I've just become more interested in this aspect of spirituality. I've always been interested in Eastern religion, mindfulness, things like that, but I haven't really looked any further. So I'm my curiosity has really peaked now as far as, you know, what you discuss and what Pythian discusses.
Yeah, just starting on that path. And would you share for the listeners, what do you do for The Occult Unveiled? What is your job?
Coordinate the episodes and make sure everything airs on time and get the guest information. Yeah, pretty much scheduling.
My inbox is always full. I always see Laura, Laura, Laura. I'm like, Oh man, I got to check all these.
Yes, I have to make sure all the ducks are in a row. That's the right saying for The Occult Unveiled.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful because you help keep this show together. You're like that glue. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. So now we're going to be moving on to Scott.
Hi there.
Hi, Scott. Have you ever had your cards read before?
I've never had my cards read before, Ashley.
How are you feeling about it? Are you excited, nervous?
A little nervous, you know? I don't know what you're going to tell me here. I'm ready. Tell me something good.
It's always what I want to do. I always want to deliver that good news. Okay, so your first card is your past. The Two of Swords. Swords represent your mental state, your thoughts. This is also one of the few cards that has a blindfold. So that means that sometimes we feel like we can't make a good decision because each decision has pros and cons. So you're kind of in that stuck area. It's in your past. Hopefully you've made that decision.
Okay.
Next, we have your present. This card is fantastic. This is the Chariot card. So this is a major arcana card indicating a major event in your life. So chariots move forward. They were a mode of transportation in the ancient world. And this shows me that in your life, you are going to be moving forward. There are new projects and new adventures for you to tackle. And it's going to be life altering.
Great.
And now for the future. We have the 10 of Cups reversed. So remember, cups represent water. So there's a lot in life that we have to balance, right? So it's really important in our future that we are taking care of our emotional and physical self while balancing work, because it's so easy in our modern world to become focused on one rather than the other. And in the 10 of Cups, we don't want you to drain yourself from the emotions of spending time with family, spending time with yourself, and understanding what it truly means to be prosperous, because it's not always wealth.
Very true. Yep. Very true.
So how was it? Was it as scary as you thought it would be?
No, it wasn't scary at all. And all very relevant points in my life.
Very cool.
You know, for sure. Very cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. So, Scott, as we have created the Occult Unveiled, has your view on spirituality changed, or how has it enhanced?
It's definitely enhanced. I consider myself a spiritual person in general. And to learn more about the occult through our work together on this show has opened my eyes to, you know, a broader sense of what the occult means, you know, and the interpretation of different people towards it. So it's been very interesting and very eye opening.
I'm glad. I love hearing that it's expanding your worldview.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I would just it's interesting when we look at the team on this show. I think none of us come with really any background in this, except for, of course, you know, you, Ashley. And I think I think we want to create almost a childlike wonderment of these things, because that excitement you get when you learn something new, or you just, you know, think about something you haven't thought about before. And I hope that's what we're doing with this series. You know, it feels that way from the feedback we get. I think that's really exciting for all of us.
Yeah, I think that childlike wonderment is so important, because that's what motivates people to study the occult, is the curiosity about the world and the universe around us.
I found it interesting from studying other types of spirituality through my education and growing up Jewish, but going to a Quaker school, for example, you know, you learn different perspectives on these things. And, and that's a more formal approach to it. You know, you go to Hebrew school, you go to church school, whatever. This is more of a straight lifestyle proposition.
Yeah.
And to see it embraced in people's lives, in their day-to-day lives, and how it's brought to life, you know, whether it's through how one dresses, or how one interacts with the world, or, you know, how they enter their day. Mm-hmm. You know, I find it very interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is absolutely a lifestyle. And I think it's one that we're going to see continue to grow in the world.
Yeah. I'm totally blown away by our listener base, our constituents, you know, that they're enjoying it and they're coming back for it. And they're more and more every week coming back for it. you know, and, they want to learn more and they go back and they listen to previous episodes again. You know, that it's, people are passionate, very passionate about the occult.
And the other thing that I really like is that it's teaching respect. There's been so much time in history where culture was put down and discriminated against. And now this show is offering an opportunity with a non-judgmental look into what that is and allows other people to find peace and respect with it.
Yeah, very, very much so. Within the occult community, which we always say, well, that will be our base, but outside the community. And I think that's where I love when Pythion explains things. And, you know, for our listeners, because I know a lot of people have asked, like, well, when does Pythion come in? Well, I think the simple answer is when we don't know. I mean, the collective us, Ashley, you probably know, but there are just terms I think let's explain that. We're not pandering. We're saying as a group putting this out there, you may not know what this term means. We didn't. Now you do.
Yeah. And for me, that's always fun to see. It's like, oh, this is verbiage I use in my everyday life. But now I realize, oh, you're an outsider. Let's bring people in to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think personally, it also reveals the nature of the occult in the sense that it requires discipline and study and knowledge. And I think that what we've done is to help blow away that notion that this is just kind of fluff and something that's newfangled and, you know, people are going into it without any degree of seriousness. And I think that's a notion that people who don't understand what the occult is maybe hold. And I think we're dispelling that with this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, Deborah. Before we move on, Scott, would you share with our listeners what your role in the Occult Unveiled is?
It's not my fault, but it's my responsibility. I try to be helpful in looking at the big picture from the top down and balance the creative direction with the, I guess, the business direction, and try and make sure that, we have all the right specialists working with us, you know, in our different disciplines that all come together into the show, into this concept to become a tangible show along with Michael.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to work together. It's been great.
It has. All right, Deborah, let's go.
We're going to go.
So we'll go Deborah and Michael next.
Oh, well, you can go before me if you want.
No, let's do it this way.
Okay. Too late. Already got Deborah's energy in the cards.
Just so listeners know, many of us have connections in this show, which is wonderful. It's this odd little family, but literally Deborah and I are a family. So,
all right. So Deborah, let's start with your past.
Oh no. Okay.
So your past is the Six of Swords reversed. This is one of the few cards that when reversed actually has a more positive meaning. Oh, so swords should always be up in the air because that's where they swish in their end usage. Traditionally, the Six of Swords has their swords down. This is the card of the unknown. And now that the swords are upright, it shows me that you have found your way out of that darkness. The other thing that we see in this card is there is a man who is guiding the boat in this unknown river. And then here you are, right here, hanging out on the boat with your head down. So this shows me that you have a lot of spiritual guidance that even if you're not aware of, is leading you. Next, we have your present, which is the Two of Pentacles. So this card, we see that there's an infinity symbol, and this man is kind of juggling. You're juggling a lot in your life right now, and you're out of balance. You'll see that his feet are that he's kind of dancing. So in your life, all these things that you're juggling are leading you to a personal transformation. The advice that I can offer you in the present is making sure that you list out your priorities so you know what you need to focus on and not get so overwhelmed with all of the responsibility that you have so you don't end up getting sick.
That is very good advice and very pertinent, actually. Thank you.
And then next, we have your future card. And your future is the Nine of Wands. We've had a lot of wands that have shown up today. Wands represent fire. And here, this shows me you are very close to the end of a cycle. So in tarot, we have 0 to 10. 0 being the beginning of your journey, 10 being the completion. So the project that you're working on looks like you have a creative project coming up and you're going to be finishing in your future. We see this man here, he's holding onto his wand, very concerned. Don't be insecure or self-conscious about your work. Let it shine because your work is just as good as all these other sticks that are standing up.
Wow.
So everything that you're feeling is totally valid, but not necessary.
Wow. That is so on target, given that, you know, we're working on some creative projects right now that have been challenging and have to move forward. So I appreciate that. Great.
Good. And was that your first tarot reading you've ever had?
It was. And I think I avoided it because it would be like, they're going to tell me my life is going to be bad, you know? But that wasn't the case. It was really very spot on and interesting. I think actually very reflective of where I am in my life right now. So that's very cool. And I like the fact that I was in a boat upside down. It just, it's really magical to me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It is so interesting to see how it does reflect our current life. A lot of people, like we talked with Sasha Graham, think that tarot like predicts the future or something crazy. Well, really, it's a reflective tool to understand where you are in your journey.
Yeah, no, it seems that way. So that's really very interesting. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So Deborah, as we have, I mean, you have a really special job on this show, a segment producer. You interview or pre-interview the guests before I talk to them.
Exactly.
So you kind of get like double the knowledge of this show.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I talk to guests. I also research them and it leads me down so many avenues and opens up just a lot of possibilities, you know, so many things that I didn't even know existed. Like Luciferianism, for example, and what that really was. And it's just been fascinating. And all of the people I've spoken to have just been so wonderful and so interesting and so knowledgeable. So that's been really a delight for me.
Yes. And I remember that you were reading Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages, that giant book.
I know. I'm still getting through it. So, you know, but it was very, very interesting. You know, it's very interesting for me too, because this show, and I know you haven't asked the question yet, but how has it impacted, you know, my view of spirituality or whatever? I was a comparative religion studies major in college. And the reason primarily I did that was because I was always fascinated by, and to some extent envious of, people who had faith. You know, I grew up in a Jewish background and felt religion was forced on me in the sense of having to go to temple and sitting there. And every time I asked a question, it really wasn't answered. And I felt that it was very constraining. And that study opened my mind. But this project has really shown me so many avenues of possibility. And I appreciate that so deeply and really value it. And I don't know, maybe, who knows, I'll follow one of those avenues, but it's just been a great ride.
That's wonderful to hear. I was thinking like, she's going to be the one who has the most alchemy, the most change. We'll move on to her husband, Michael. Are you ready?
Yeah, boy. After that, I'm like a little
nervous. That's little okay. Nervous. So Michael is this your first tarot reading too?
My first tarot reading.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, what was it, almost 5 years ago, if you told me that as your assistant that I'd be doing your tarot readings, I would have been like shocked.
I just, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, I was lucky enough to be hiring a development assistant when Ashley was leaving her, just graduating from her master's program, and somehow convinced her to come work for me with me. And yeah, it's been 5 years and a.
Yeah, I remember one time you told me, you know, I'm going to be working for you. And I was like, nah, it's not going to happen. and here we are collaborating.
See, yeah.
Maybe you got some psychism in there.
You know, it's possible.
All right, Michael, we're going to be looking first into your past, which is the Three of Swords. Now, this card, a lot of people are very familiar with because the swords are piercing the heart. This is in your past. What's interesting is that Deborah had the Six of Swords and you have the Three. So it's kind of like cut right in half between you. This is the mental state. You've been through a lot of agony in the past, especially with creative projects. You pour your heart and soul into them. And sometimes things just don't come to fruition. And it's really important not to hold grudges. Don't hold grudges because that will hinder you from moving forward, especially when it comes to matters of creative work. We don't want to create fear in any way. Luckily, this is in your past, so maybe we've moved on from this. Your present card is the Strength card. This is another major arcana card, and this is one of my favorite cards. We're going to look at it real closely. You'll see that there's a woman who has the infinity symbol above her head, which represents spirit, and she's putting her hand inside of a lion's mouth. What the heck? Why is she doing that? In magic, strength is not the bodybuilder, not the person who's the most cold, but actually the person who's the most vulnerable. Putting your hand in the lion's mouth and trusting that you will be guided by spirit. Right now in your life, you are exuding that kind of vulnerability in all aspects. This is a major moment in your life that is going to bring some life-altering changes, showing that you are opening up your heart and your mind to new things and that you will be rewarded from it.
Good.
And next, in your future, we have the Eight of Cups. So cups represent emotions. And here we see that there's a man walking into the mountains. This is the card of wandering. In some traditions, this is the beginning of the seeker, meaning that you are seeking understanding of things. You are going into the cave, you are climbing the mountain, also known as alchemy. This is a time of, in your future, personal introspection, reevaluating beliefs, reevaluating what's happening in your life, but mostly it's going to be interpersonal because we see cups, which represent emotion. This is a very exciting card because you are going into your, what some people call the in movies, the dark night of the soul. Doesn't have to be terrible, but it's definitely self-reflective.
Hmm. Wow. It's really interesting that a lot of these had to do with emotions.
Yeah, they do. And I remember, Michael, you called yourself a very staunch atheist. And I recently heard on a podcast, you called yourself an agnostic.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, not totally dissimilar. I grew up in a household which was Jewish, but completely not religious, you know, with scientists around. And I always had this sort of, I just didn't get it. I didn't get the notion of a supreme being when I looked at evil. And I thought, either they can't do anything, then they're not a very good supreme being, or they don't care, which makes them really mean. So, but I knew I always had this searching and trying to find something. So, yeah, I would definitely say this podcast has definitely opened my mind to a lot of possibilities. I don't think I really would give myself permission to think about.
Yeah, I know that especially a lot of people have difficulty reconciling spirituality and science. And I think that through this podcast, that especially when we did the question of like, how are science and the occult similar, that we really got some great answers about how they are.
I mean, like looking recently when we're recording this, you know, they're releasing these incredible photographs from the James Webb Telescope of looking, peering back with piercing detail of galaxies from, you know, 8 billion light years ago. And you just look at that in the wonderment, and it's just clearly there's just more than we know in all directions. Yeah. You know, and I don't think it's just out there. I think it's also within us.
Absolutely. The as above, so below. When I was looking at those images, there was one particular of a dying star. And I was like, oh my God, that looks like a cell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so.
It's absolutely beautiful.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it. And once you kind of admit it to yourself, it's actually rather freeing. You know,
yes.
It doesn't mean, oh, I have to, everyone's path is the same as mine. No, clearly not. But it's really freeing to like, yeah, I can be open to this and not have to feel I lose membership into a club.
I just wanted to make a comment on something you just said, Ashley, about the, you know, you talked about where, you know, spirituality comes in and, you know, and I don't know. Interestingly, when I thought of that, I thought of the spirituality. Like is the occult religion? Is it like where does that fall in? You know, like there's Judaism, Catholicism. Is the occult, you know, religion? You know, because I don't necessarily I view spirituality as a substitute for organized religion for myself. I'm just curious.
Would you like that answer?
Yeah.
So you may call back long time ago when we first spoke with Nish, who was the Hindu practitioner, and he does say that science in many ways is a religion. Religion traditionally is to guide and regulate life. That was the purpose for the ancient people. Now we are seeing that organized religion has really become politicized, and that is not helpful. But spirituality is not dogma. There's not a certain set of rules that people have to follow that oppresses them. Spirituality gives you the freedom to create your own universe that allows you to create your lifestyle. And hopefully you're an ethical person, a moral person who can make those great and good decisions that will guide humanity into a better age.
Very cool. Interesting. Yeah, what something is said just spurred that. And then before I go, I just want to tell you this house I'm living in out here in New Jersey is about 300 years old. And there is absolutely a ghost in this house. Mm. And actually, the you know, Karina, the woman who is the PR firm that we work with, this is her house here that I rent out on the Delaware. And I brought it up with her. I said, is there? She says, like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people who are open in their head have encountered it. The other night, I was sitting down in the kitchen, and there's a door that opens out to a terrace. And all of a sudden, it just blew open. And when I looked back, there it was open. And my wife's little, like, you know, flip-flops, you know, thing you put on your feet to walk outside, they were sitting, like, you know, put away nicely. But when I looked back there, they were turned around like somebody had, like, walked in the door, like it was the direction of how you'd walk. Now, maybe that's how they were before. I remembered them a different way. But it was like the door had opened and somebody had stepped in. I go, all right, I'm not going to think too hard about it. I'm just going to put the shoes back. And
that's the best thing to do. Don't think too hard about it. Just acknowledge it. And if you get scared, I mean, this is what I did last night when I had something happen. I was like, oh, my God, you are so rude. I did not invite you into my house. You need to go now.
That's very funny. Very cool. Well, this was cool. Thanks for doing the reading.
So before we move on to the next reading, Michael, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about what you do. You're an executive producer, but you're also the director, and you really help me guide the interviews.
Yeah, so I'm a director by trade, TV film director, and approaching a podcast, which back in the day we used to call radio, is, I tend to work creatively by seeing things. So I try to help guide you, I think, when we're doing the show and in the editing process, to make it a visual experience, because we're describing things which are so incredibly visual and so heightened senses. So I think that's, I kind of look at my main job to hopefully this what we're putting out there has this arc to it and a story to it, but also a visual quality to it, which, you know, may sound pretentious for a podcast, but I think we're hitting on the formula.
I think so too.
Nice. With the other part of being an EP is I try to make Scott's life as miserable as possible.
Oh, you should have said that when he was still here.
I should have said that when he was here, but I'll let him know.
We'll get a reaction from him later.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for sharing that with us. So we have two more people today to talk to. We're going to start with Perry Turcotte. Perry is our talent booker. And Perry, have you ever had your tarot cards read before?
I have not, no.
Wow, so many firsts today for everyone. This is exciting. All right, Perry. So in your past, we have the Page of Swords. So swords represent air. This is your thoughts. Pages represent new beginnings, the new beginning of your journey. This is one of the court cards. So if we look really closely here, we see that this man is standing with his hair blowing in the wind, and he's holding his sword valiantly. There's something in your life that you have started in the past, this creative project, a mental project, and it's going well. You have your sights set high and you are ready to attack and tackle this new journey.
Okay.
In your present, we have the Six of Wands reversed. Now, this card shows me that you're not giving yourself the praise you deserve. So maybe you didn't get the biggest victory, but every small accomplishment deserves acknowledgement.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Good. Good. It's really important that we give ourselves that positive affirmation and that positive reinforcement, so we have the strength to keep going on that journey. And now we have your future card, which is a major arcana card, the Hermit. So, very similar to Michael's card, you are going on this internal journey where this project you've started, you are going to work really, really hard on it with new eyes. So the Hermit, like, yes, we know hermits live in their caves and they do their work. But more importantly, when we look at this card, you'll see he's holding a lantern and there's a star inside of it. This shows me that you're going to have a revelation, which has been guided by spirit to finish this project.
That's awesome. That's great news. I like that.
Yeah. It resonated with you, this reading?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, more than anything, like you said, it's for me to not get discouraged and to acknowledge when I do have successes, even if other people don't see them as big successes for me, that they should be, or that they can lead to something else. And I like that. So, this was great.
Good. I'm so glad to hear this. And you're right. There's everything that happens opens up an avenue in some way, even if it seems like the main door is closed.
Right. Yeah. And you have to also, for me, it's like, you know, for what I do, it's you have to understand that when you get, when you make an ask for somebody, and I'm the booker on the show, and you get a no answer, it might mean, you know, no for right now, no for good. But then it's like, okay, well, so who else do you have that we can work with? You know, what other opportunities are there with, you know, maybe not this talent, but that talent and that type of thing. So it's always like, you know, it's never, the no is not final. And even if it is, you still made a new connection with somebody. So you never know down the road how that's going to work out for you.
Oh yeah. Networking web.
No, absolutely. It's like, I've reached out, doing what I do for the show, I've made so many new contacts with people. And, you know, it might be somebody that I might be in another job at another place at some point in the future. And having already established that contact with somebody, knowing that, hey, this person might be right for this thing that I'm doing now too. And that's a great thing. So
that's the magic of Hollywood.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So
Perry, when you have been working on this show, how have your views of spirituality changed, if they have at all?
Well, so I'm just going to relay a story about, and whether it's relevant or not, I don't know. But about 7 years ago, I had a major medical issue where I was in the hospital for about 4 weeks. And at one point, I was on the operating table, and the notes that the doctor wrote said the patient turned a dusky blue on the table. So I take that to mean that there was probably a point where I was clinically not alive. And I had a lot of, and then post that, while I was in recovery, just, you know, so many images and visions that went through my head about just things that were not really happening, but in my head, they were all true and real and live happening in front of me. And, you know, some of them were scary, some of them were positive, some of them were mundane, and some of them were just me trying to, I think, make sense of what I was going through at the time. I grew up Catholic, and since that point, I think I've kind of gotten back to my roots as somebody who believes in that there is a bigger presence in the world. You know, I look at it through the lens of Catholicism and how I was raised. With the show, what it makes me see is that a lot of people are searching for answers and searching for reason, and they find it in many, many different ways, in many, many different forms, in many, many different teachings and truths, and whatever resonates with them and helps them to be the person that is moral and ethic, as you were saying earlier. I think that's a great thing. And I think that's what I take away from the show.
That's good. I'm glad that you're seeing that. And I wanted to say, when you had that experience, it sounded like you had some DMT releases while you were on that table, which is, as some people know, the drug that makes you like hallucinate.
No, I didn't know what DMT was.
So DMT is a special chemical in your brain that's actually only released when you die. And scientists think that's what gives you those flashes, like I see my life before my eyes as I'm dying. And it sounds like you actually had some kind of, which could be spiritual experiences through that chemical in your brain. Remember, your brain is the tool which spirit works through.
I was actually in an induced coma for 2 weeks. Wow. So I was just sort of out of it. And the, you know, I can't sit here today and say that everything that I saw in my head was happening while I was in the coma or when I was in recovery from that. But I mean, a lot of it was so vivid and real, and I will always you know, I can see it just sitting here right now, some of the images and it was like stories were happening around me that it was almost like I was watching a film in my head. And that's how the best way I can describe it. And it was, like I said, some of it was scary. Some of it was mundane. Some of it was very, it really made an impact on me. So, yeah.
Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that story with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the reading. And thank you for letting me work on the show with you. This has been an eye opener for me because this is not, subject that I knew much about before starting to work on it. As Deborah said, you know, getting to know some of these people and know some of the work that they've done and to research them has been the coolest part of the job for me. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. And next we have Bill, our audio producer. I spend a lot of time with Bill, so I'm very excited for this.
So am I. This is going to be fun.
I do. Bill, is this your first tarot reading?
No, but it's my first one probably in a very, very long time.
What was your first reading? When was that?
It was at a party at work probably about 30 years ago.
So. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
And it was something that just did for fun, and it was just eye-openingly accurate.
All right. Your first card is the Sun card in your past. Oh, this is the happiest card in the deck. I don't think we've ever had this card show up on the show ever. So if we look closely, we'll see that there is a young boy riding a horse underneath the sun. There's also sunflowers in the back. This is childlike happiness. And this shows me that there's contentment and joy in your life in a lot of aspects. So what a great past card. In your present, we have the Seven of Swords reversed. So this card can be kind of scary to some people, but I want you to look very closely. You'll see that there is a thief and he's stealing some swords, but he's doing something very stupid. How is he holding those swords, Bill?
He's holding them where they're going to cut his hands.
Yep, he's holding them by the blade. Mm-hmm. So this tells me that you may be doing some things that are undercutting yourself, whether you are overworking yourself, whether you have some thoughts that aren't being helpful to your mental health. It's important to figure out where that energy is so you can cut it out of your life and make things better for you.
Hmm. Like the sound of that.
And your future card is another major arcana card. You've gotten two today. This is the Temperance card, and this is the representation of balance. We also see the angel Raphael here. He's the angel of air, and he has one foot on land and one foot in water. This shows me that you are going to find that balance, Bill. You're going to be able to cut out the poison in your life that is causing you the detriments, and you will be able to live harmoniously. The other thing in the very far back, we see there's a crown over there. That crown represents enlightenment. So whether or not you know it, you are on your own path seeking enlightenment and balance within the universe.
Great. That's good. That's encouraging.
Yeah. Your reading was really up and down, man.
Well, I could definitely with the pass card, it's funny. I was just texting with someone yesterday and we were talking about, you know, getting older and everything. And a friend of ours had recently passed away, who was very, you know, fairly young. And we were saying, wow, you know, it's like, I'm still in the mindset of, you know, of being in my 20s. Like I haven't grown up, you know, otherwise I still think the same way. I still think towards the future and opportunities and things. Like I've never really, you know, taken my foot off the gas as far as like, you know, as far as building things like career and getting involved in projects. And it's funny when you mentioned in the present card and about, you know, about finding balance, one of the things about working in this business is that, I think we all agree, those of us who get into it, you know, we never look at it as a job. It sort of becomes our fun and our work at the same time, you know, so it's not, you know, sometimes you do struggle to find that space where, you know, where you're not working, because, you know, you feel like so much of the work is, I mean, if I go on vacation, I'll go away for a few days and, you know, I'm kind of eager to get back in front of Pro Tools and start doing some editing. You know, it's like your job sort of becomes your fun, which isn't always a healthy thing. You know, you need to be able to carve out those things.
Absolutely. You know, when you were talking about the age, it reminds me of something my mom says. She says, it's about mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
I like that. For sure.
Yeah. And especially being in the podcasting business and the television business, finding that balance between work and life, because really work does become your life in a lot of ways. So, and that's okay, as long as that you are also spending time to take care of yourself.
Sure. Yeah. It's spending time to get away. And that becomes more and more important as more time goes on. You start realizing that, you know, especially with the family and everything, you know, you want to be able to spend time with the people that matter to you and not just, you know, just in your dark, cold studio.
Now, Bill, you probably have listened to the shows more than anybody else because you listen to them be recorded, you edit them. How has this show influenced you in your idea of spirituality?
Well, I think what this show has done is really just not so much expanded my mind, but I think it's made me realize how expansive expansive the occult is. You know, we've done episodes regarding music, we've done episodes regarding religion, we've done episodes about multicultural and New Orleans and spirituality. It's funny, my background: 16 years of Catholic school. You know, grew up with Catholic grammar school, high school, went to a Catholic university. Which actually was a good thing, I think, going to a Catholic university, because that's when the religious instruction was less about religion and more about theology, where we started to learn, you know, hey, this is why people, you know, thought these things. This is why people learn things this way. These are what these stories might have actually meant to people at the time. And I always felt like my friends that I went to grammar school and high school with, who then didn't go to a school where they had to take theology classes, missed out on, I wouldn't say deprogramming, but missed out on some of the explanation where they still take everything very literally. The way we were taught things when we were 12 years old, they still say, well, no, that's the rule. That's how it is. And you're like, no, that's the rule. But there was a reason that rule was in place, and it really was more designed to give you a certain sense and to give you guidance more so than to hard and fast rules. Like, this is, you know, this is what we think. So, so I think that as far as, like, you know, just all the episodes have gone in so many different spaces. You know, it's like, you know, people might come into, you know, a podcast on the occult and think that it's very narrow, and it's actually extremely broad. And I think that's one of the things that it makes it so important to listen to and so much fun to listen to.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is so expansive. And I think people do kind of miss that. They think that it's just like, oh, I need to go in like this dark space and like meditate and be a hermit. When no, spirituality has such a variety.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. For sure. And you see it everywhere. You know, it's like, it's, you know, and once you open up your mind, you can see it in all different aspects of your life.
Well, thank you, Bill, for all of the hard work that you do. You are definitely one of the biggest pieces in this puzzle.
It's my pleasure. It's so much fun. Yeah, so much fun to put together and so interesting.
And Michael, is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap up for the day? We've talked to everyone behind the scenes.
Yeah, I would just say to thank people listening, thank people for taking, whether in their cars on a walk, and experience this podcast. And as we grow, and it's great to see we are growing, we truly want to hear from people, whether it's what you like, what you don't like, a suggestion for a guest, how we can do things, you know, which may involve them more. Because really that's the reason behind this. So that's really, I think, our collective shout out to a growing number of listeners out there. Be part of this. Make yourself heard.
Yeah, I love that. Taking us on a walk with you. That's fantastic. Deborah, you had something else you wanted to say before we close out?
No, I just like the fact that we're asking people to expand their minds a little bit and take a little bit of a risk, which I think is so important for people, because I think it promotes just not just knowledge, but understanding and tolerance. And I think, as you talked about earlier, I think that's what we're trying to achieve here too. And I think it's so important and relevant now. So
most certainly it's relevant now. And I couldn't agree more. My goal for this podcast is not just to share the things that I love, but to bring that tolerance and that respect to every aspect of religion and spirituality in a time where the whole world seems to be at each other's throats. I want to thank everyone that was on this episode today. Each one of you contributes an important part of the puzzle to make this show a reality. I'm so grateful for you. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in every week to expand your mind and explore the occult. This show would not exist without you. And I'm looking forward to the future where we have more episodes about the occult. And until next time, stay magical. The Occult Unveiled is produced by F Street Productions and M is for Magic. Our executive producers are Ashley Ryan, Michael A. Simon, and Scott Kushner. Our segment producer is Deborah Simon. Our audio producer is Bill Schultz. Our talent booker is Perry Turcott. Laura Kaufman is our coordinator. Thank you for listening. And for more information on any of the topics you heard today, plus really cool links and ways to learn about Ashley, Pythian, and all of our guests, go to theoccultunveiled.com website. The Occult Unveiled, copyright 2022.